We're going to talk about Hillel and Shammai, primarily Hillel in this session. And just as a brief background, where we left off in our last session, we talked about Herod or Hordus, as the Gemara calls him. Shortly after Rome takes over in 63 BCE, Herod became king. He was ruthless, he was violent. He rebuilt and beautified the second Beis HaMikdash. His reign lasted from 37 to 4 BCE. Hillel and Shammai lived during Herod's reign, and they are part of the tradition from the Pharisees, the Perushim, to the Tanoim. Some argue that the Pharisaic Judaism began around 150 BCE, when Yonatan or Jonathan, Yudah HaMakabi's brother, was in charge. And some argue that Tanaitic Judaism begins around 70 CE, but the time is not exactly clear, depending on whose perspective is it. It seems that originally the Pharisees were a political group, but as they lost power, depending on the leadership, for example, they didn't have much power when Alexander Yanai was the king. They didn't have political power when Aristobulus was the leader. In any case, these Pharisees transitioned from having actual political power into being a group of religious leaders loosely joined together by the same interpretation of Judaism, who sought to teach their approach to the people at large. And Hillel was a spiritual leader of the Jewish people approximately 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. There is a statement in the Gemara that says that he lived for 120 years, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's hard to know if this is to be interpreted literally or figuratively. If it's to be taken literally, some have said that he lived from 110 BCE to 10 CE. He was a leader during the last 40 years of his life, a Jewish leader. What that means essentially is that his life spans the Herodian era, which begins in 37 BCE. The descendants of Hillel continued to be the Nesiim of the Jewish people for 15 generations during approximately 450 years. Now, Hillel is born in Bavel in Babylonia. He comes from an honored family that was linked to the tribe of Binyamin from his father's side and the house of David from his mother's side. The Yerushalmi explicitly states in Maseches Tanis that Amar Rabbi Levi Megillas Yuchsin Matsu B'Yerushalayim V'Kasu Ba Hillel Ben David. So there is some scroll that had lineage of Hillel, which stated that he came from David HaMelech. Now, while Hillel was in Bavel, he studied a lot of Torah, and he went to Eretz Yisrael to clarify for himself some laws based on the traditions of Eretz Yisrael. And there he learned by Shmaya and Avtalion. And it was difficult for him to finance his stay. Many of us are familiar with the Agadic story in Yoma Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, where the Gemara states that Hillel would work every day, and half of his salary went to pay for entrance to the Beis Medrash, half of his salary went for food, and one day he couldn't find work, and the guard to the Beit Midrash did not let him in, so he sat on top of the skylights that he could hear Torah from Shmaya and Avtalion. A lot of snow fell until he froze, and he was found in the morning. Both the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi, explain the story with some slight variations about how Hillel became famous. There was one time, let's say in the Bavli, in Psachim Daf Samach Bavim and Aleph, that's where you can find the story in the Bavli. So essentially, when the 14th of Nisan fell out on Shabbos, so Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, people didn't know the halacha if you bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. So the people said there was one person who might know who served both Shmaya and Avtalion, who had a clear Mesorah, a clear tradition from Shmaya and Avtalion, and his name is Hillel. So he sent them, they sent for him, and he began to explain to them, and he basically told them that just like every Shabbos, you bring Korbanos, which overrides the prohibitions of Shabbos. You bring the Korban Tavin, Korban Musaf. So too, the Korban Pesach should also override Shabbos. So again, he actually, in this Gemara, Hillel introduces us to two of the seven methods for biblical exegesis. He uses both Kal V'Chomer and he uses Gzeira Shava, so two methodological principles. And in fact, there's a Tosefta in Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin Lach Yud Aleph, that tells us that Hillel actually instituted or expounded seven biblical methods of biblical interpretation. Many of us are familiar with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel has 13 principles of biblical interpretation. Hillel has seven. It doesn't necessarily mean that he was the first one to introduce them, but he essentially went by these seven principles of biblical interpretation, including Kal V'Chomer and Gzeira Shava. He uses them in ruling that the Korban Pesach overrides Shabbos prohibitions. And essentially, once the people hear that he has a direct Mesorah, a direct tradition from Shmai and Avtalion, they appoint him as the Nasi. And again, he's probably the Nasi around the time when Herod is the king. Now, the people who were in charge, the spiritual leaders in charge at that time, were people called the B'nai B'Seira. What's interesting is that in the Mishnah in Avos, where the Mishnah lists the different zugos, the different pairs who were leading the Jewish people, so the first we are told that the leaders, let's say the zugot, are Shmai and Avtalion, and the next group is Hillel and Shammai. So even though B'nai B'Seira were spiritual leaders, but they are more of like a buffer between Shmai and Avtalion and eventually Hillel and Shammai, because apparently they didn't have the right Mesorah or enough of a Mesorah, enough of a tradition from Shmai and Avtalion. Now we think, oh, Hillel taught so many halachos, and we know so many halachos that came from Hillel. The truth is, Hillel, we know very few halachos from Hillel. Most of the halachos, most of the rulings that we find in the Mishnah are from Beis Hillel, the house of Hillel, the students of Hillel. Hillel himself only recited a selected number of halachos in Maseches Edios, some in Bava Metzia, Perakei, Mishneh Tes. But like I mentioned, most of the halachos associated with his Beis Medrash called Beis Hillel. He is referred to as one of the fathers of the world in Edios, Perak Aleph, Mishneh Dalet. And Hillel made some innovations because of Tikkun HaOlam, because of new realities. So for example, in Maseches Gittin, Perak Dalet, Mishneh Gimel, Hillel innovated what was called the Prosbul, because Hillel saw that people were not loaning each other money without interest. So what the ideal is to lend money without interest to someone, and then if Shemitah hits, Shemitah cancels the loan. So the loan is turned into a charitable gift. But people realized that the borrowers were not paying back, so they stopped a most basic form of chesed, of lending money, because they believed that they were not going to get the money back. So Prosbul allows the lender to transfer his loan to the courts, and through this mechanism, he would be able to collect his loan even after Shemitah. So that was one innovation based on Tikkun Olam, based on new realities. A second innovation was the sale of a house in a walled city. Because according to Torah law, this is in Vayikra, Perichofei, Pasuchoftes, the seller who sells his house in a walled city may redeem his house within 1 year of the sale, and after that, the house belongs to the buyer forever. So the Mishan Erechin, Perek Tes, Mishneh Dalet, describes how very often the buyer would hide himself for those 12 months that the house would be his. And the seller would not be able to, even if he didn't have the funds, the seller wouldn't be able to find the buyer to repurchase the house. So Hillel established that the seller could give the money back to Beis, could give the money of the repurchase of the house to the Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash, and he could break down the door and enter the house, and the buyer could then get his money back anytime. Very often, we learn a lot about someone by their sayings in Pirkei Avos. So Hillel, as we know, have statements about loving one's fellow Jew, being Oiv Shalom Verodev Shalom, not separating from the broader community, Al Tifro Shmidat Tzibur, Al Tamid Ba'atzpacha Ad Yom Moscha, don't rest on your laurels till the day you die, and Al Tadines Chavercha, But don't judge someone else until you are in his place. And there are many stories about how he loved people and he ran after peace and he was very humble. For example, there's a famous story in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph about two people made a bet regarding whether they could, whether one person could make Hillel angry. And Hillel was, and this person was unsuccessful in making Hillel angry. Also in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, there's a famous story about Hillel's outreach to prospective converts. Contrast that with Shammai. Shammai would chase away a convert who would ask to be converted while standing on one foot, and Hillel simply said, don't do to others what you don't want to be done to yourself, and the rest is simply commentary. So this obviously demonstrates the personality of who Hillel was. Hillel's love for his fellow Jews is also demonstrated about how he personally took care of wealthy individuals who became poor. And the Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Samach Zayin Rebbei states that if someone was used to wealth and then became poor, you try to honor him as he was when he was wealthy. So Hillel, there was someone who that he would have servants running in front of him. So Hillel, and this person became poor and was so used to having someone sort of running in front of him. So Hillel would hire some people to run in front of this person. When he couldn't find someone, Hillel would do that himself. Hillel also took care of his body. He made sure to bathe. He considers that a mitzvah. This is from Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, Perek Lamedalet, Parsha Lamedalet. And Hillel was clearly recognized as a leader in his community. In fact, the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis tells us that after Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi died, Ruach HaKodesh left Klal Yisrael, but there was still a baskol, there was still a voice from heaven. It's lesser of a form of direct connection with God. It wasn't Nevuah, it was a baskol. And apparently, the baskol once came from Shemayim, came from heaven, a voice from heaven, said that there is a person who is, it's fit for the Shechina, the divine presence, to descend upon him, but his generation is not worthy. And the people at that time, of that generation, they looked at Hillel, and they said that he's obviously the individual. He had many students who were also recognized as spiritual leaders. Among them was the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, a number of his students. Among them was Yonatan ben Uziel, famous, wrote the Targum Yonatan Uziel, translation of the Torah. Important leader was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. As I mentioned, according to tradition, the Sifrei and Devarim, Hillel lived for 120 years, 40 years in Bavel, 40 years learning in Eretz Yisrael, 40 years leading Klal Yisrael. Perhaps the goal of the Medrash is to link him to Moshe and probably also to Rabbi Akiva and Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai in terms of their importance to the Mesorah, because the Sifrei tells us that Moshe, Hillel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Akiva all lived for 120 years. So perhaps it's literal, perhaps just to compare their importance to the continuation of the Mesorah. Again, as mentioned, Hillel's Beis Medrash was called Beis Hillel. And there are more than 300 debates between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Generally speaking, Beis Hillel was inclined to be lenient and Beis Shammai was inclined to be stringent on matters. Beis Hillel was generally pleasant and they learned the position of Beis Shammai and preceded this position before their own. This is what the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel of Beis states. And therefore, they merited to have the halacha follow them. It may not be an external reason, because there's an external reward, because they did something good, so they merited to have the halacha follow them. Could be that this nature is reflected in their approach to halacha, that perhaps they had a broader, a more complex approach to halacha, that they didn't only insist on hearing, being in their own echo chamber and hearing only what they wanted to hear and listening to their own approach, because they considered the approach of Beis Shammai, so they had a broader approach to halacha. Maybe that's why their perspective was accepted. Reish Lakish, who lived about 250 years after Hillel in Sukkah Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, states that the Torah was forgotten initially, and then Allah Ezra Mibavu B'Yisada, then Ezra reestablished it, and then Torah was forgotten again, and Ala Hillel HaBavli V'Yisada, and it was reestablished by Hillel. Again, a very significant leader in our Misora. And the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis states that at Hillel's eulogy, they said that Hillel, they referred to Hillel as He Chassid, He Anav, Talmido, Shel Ezra. He was pious, humble, and a student of Ezra. The personality of Hillel, in which wisdom was combined with righteousness and humility with simplicity, became a model of conduct for subsequent generations. Shammai also lived around this time, perhaps some argue between, let's say, 50 BCE and around 30 CE. So he's living around the same time as Hillel. He lived about 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. He and Hillel were the last of the Zugot, the pairs of leaders who led the Jewish people after the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Hillel was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, and Shammai was the Av Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din. As I mentioned, they were leaders during the reign of Herod, and nothing is really known of his early life except for the statement that he was a builder by occupation, because when the non-Jew came to Shammai and asked him to convert him, while he's standing on one foot, Shammai chased him away with a building implement. Now, Shammai was more stringent and straight in his worldview. His values were truth and justice without compromise. He despised falsehood and wickedness, and even if there was a scent of it. That's why he's perceived as a kaptan, a hot-tempered individual, in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, in the story with the converts, with the prospective converts. But it wasn't based on anger, but rather it was based on a greater degree of seriousness and particularity in mitzvah observance and musar. Shammai is known in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tezvav. He said, Heve mekabos kol ha'adam b'sefer panim yafos. You should receive everyone with a friendly face. He was a friendly person. He was only upset when he witnessed falsehood. For example, there's a story in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, that Yonatan ben Uzziel was given property by an individual. Why? This individual's children were not acting appropriately. So this father gave all his money to Yonatan ben Uzziel, not to his children. Yonatan ben Uzziel felt bad, so he sold a third of the property. He donated a third of the property to the Beis HaMikdash, and he returned to the children a third of the property. So the Gemara says that Baal of Shammai b'Maklo v'Tarmilo, that Shammai attacked Yonatan ben Uzziel. He said it was not appropriate to give the money back to these kids because they did not act appropriately. Shammai was also very particular about Shabbos. The Gemara in Be'ah Daf Tezayim et Aleph states that during the week, if when he found something good, he would save it for Shabbos. He also forbade in the Sifrei and Devarim states that he also forbade traveling by boat less than 3 days before Shabbos. This is in the Sifrei, Piska Resh Gimel. He tries to educate his children from the day they are born. We have two stories about this. The Mishnah in Sukkah, Perek Beis Mishnah Ches, tells us that there's a story that the daughter-in-law of Shammai gave birth, and he opened the roof a bit and put tzchach for this child who was a newborn baby. And there's also a Tosefta and Yoma Perek Dalad Mishnah Beis Halacha Beis that states that you should feed a child, you shouldn't make a child fast when they're a few years before their bar mitzvah. And the Tosefta states that there's a story with Shammai that he didn't want to feed his child, and the other Chacham, the other sages, disagree with him, and they fed the child, but he was. So again, maybe this was, the Rambam states that this was based on his stringency. Others state that was the standard halacha before Hillel's innovations of being not as strict on some of these issues. Shammai also held that someone who sends someone to kill another person the sender is also liable. This is in Kiddushin Daf Mem Gimel Aleph. This may point to a zealousness of his views. Only a few of his halachos have reached us, and there are only three recorded debates between Shammai and Hillel. And Shammai seems to take a very stringent approach regarding Tumah and Tahara. We find this in Maseches Edios. He established a house of study called Beit Shammai, and it seems that many of his students were zealots who fought against the Romans. Shammai already in Shabbos Daf Yutes Amud Aleph states that you can lechatchila lay siege on an enemy even on Shabbos. The example, perhaps, of Kale Noah v'Chasuda provides a great example to compare the attitudes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Tezaimun Beis states that Ketzad Meratin Lifnei Akala, how do we dance in front of the Kala? Beis Shammai Omrim Kala Kamoshehi, we tell the Kala, you are however you are. And Beis Hillel Omrim Kala Noah v'Chasuda. Beis Hillel says, no, we always tell the Kala, we always tell the bride that she's beautiful. Amr Lahan, Beit Shammai the Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai says the Beis Hillel, Harei Shaisach Higeras Osuma. Let's say if she was lame, or let's say she was crippled, or let's say she was blind. Amr Lo Kalna V'Chasuda, we're going to say she's beautiful. But Torah Amr, Midvar Shekhar Tircha, stay far away from a falsehood. Amr Lahan, Beit Hillel, the Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel responds to Beit Shammai, the Divrechem, according to your opinion. Misha Lokach, Mekach, Rabi Dashuk, Yishabchedu Beinav, O Yiganu Beinav. Someone already purchased a bad purchase for the marketplace. Are you going to praise it in its eyes, or are you going to tell him, oh, you made a stupid purchase? You should praise. You say, oh, that was a great purchase. A person should always be someone who is always well-liked by other people. So try to make yourself, in a state of goodwill with other people. And I think that this disagreement is a great way to compare the attitudes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai was more focused on MS and truth, and Beis Hillel was more focused on Shalom. We probably need both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We probably need more of Beis Hillel, more of peace, but I think we also still need Beis Shammai to put things in perspective and keep priorities in perspective. We sort of need a balance of the two. Benny Lau asserted that Hillel injected a spirit of humanity into the Beis Medrash. He would struggle to open the Beis Medrash to everyone. This is found in Avos to Rabbi Nosson, Nuscha Aleph Perik Gimel, where Hillel says that Beis Hillel would say you should open up the Beis Medrash to everyone, because there are harbe poshim hayu behem b'Yisrael. There are many sinners in Yisrael, v'niskarvu l'Talmud Torah, and they became close to Talmud Torah, v'yotz behem tzadikim, chasinu k'sherim. And through the study of Torah, they became righteous and pious and kosher and fit. Beis Shammai said, no, that you should not teach Torah only to someone who's wise and someone who's humble and someone who has good lineage. So again, this reflects their different points of view. Beis Hillel would struggle to open the Beis Medrash to all. He would develop halachic interpretations that could successfully navigate an ever-changing reality, like the Prusbul. This is in opposition, at least according to Rabbi Benny Lau, to Shammai and his students, who are representatives of the old world with all of its spiritual security. And their goal was to preserve tradition, and they would exclude from the Beis Medrash any student not fully committed to Torah. So these are sort of two schools of thought beginning to emerge from Pharisaic Judaism, eventually leading into the Tanaim, that were teaching Torah and basically reflecting different approaches during this very tumultuous time during the reign of Herod and shortly thereafter.